Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat.
They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
All right, mail sack coming up. 13 minutes from now. Probably not right on the dot, but let's roll with it. Why not? Hello, everybody. Welcome in. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
You think Kevin Love's going to be like a local coach or some sort here locally?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. If you're still rocking the old Letterman jacket.
I coached against Channing Frye's kid this weekend.
Is he pretty good? She pretty good?
She.
Yeah.
Coaching girls basketball.
You know, a little slow.
Was pretty good.
He was pretty good. He was good.
He's very big.
He can also drive a golf ball a long ways. I know that about old
Channing Frye. I've seen him do that in person.
Very far. Very long.
I had to teach my daughter and my wife who he was because he was obviously a 6'10 guy standing against a wall. All the short-ass parents are on the bench.
That stands out like a sore thumb.
I was like, he won a title with LeBron.
Yes, he did.
His daughter was good.
Okay.
They beat us by 20.
And big hooper.
Good team.
That's pretty feisty for you guys.
But, like, you get some of the guys who will hang here. Now, Channing not from here, but he's decided to make his home.
Yeah,
he does a lot of wine content and stuff. Yeah. I just wonder if Kevin Love is he destined to be, like, the coach of Lake Oswego someday?
It'd be pretty cool if he did, man.
Winning, like, try to win a state title for his alma mater.
If I ever see him in person, I will publicly apologize to all the things I yelled at him when he played at Mac Court back in 2007.
You would really tell him you said some
I absolutely
of those words.
Would. I regret it, like, to this day. Like, that was...
Like, you just feel terrible?
I feel horrible.
Yeah.
I yelled that at a kid. That was one
I mean,
of...
you were also a kid.
The worst things...
It wasn't like you were a 40-year-old man screaming at a child.
That's true. Look, kids make mistakes. It's one of the reasons I'm not super critical of, like, young sports fans, because I try not to be, because I was that fan. What he went through in that game...
Yeah, the phone number, the names, yeah.
Bad. Really bad.
I don't... Really I was bad. At the Oregon State-UCLA game. It was probably that same trip. It was packed to see them because they were so damn loaded with players.
That was a Final Four UCLA team, yeah.
And we booed him, but it wasn't like he was ever going to give the time or day a thought of going to Oregon State at that time.
Oregon at the time was really good. Oregon was coming off their Elite Eight run the year before.
Yeah.
And they brought Brooks. Brooks was probably gone, but I think Porter was back.
Porter was back for sure.
Have to go back and look at some of the other
was,
guys.
Was Marty Lunin there? Or was that a little later? Anyways,
yeah.
My point is, I don't believe we chanted what you guys chanted.
No, I don't think did.
We booed, but they whooped us, so, you know.
See, 2007, 2008, Mitch Platt was on that team.
Mitch Platt.
Malik Hairston was still there. Hairston, remember Malik Hairston?
Dude, he was a massive get for
Bryce
Oregon.
Taylor was back.
Bryce
Marty
Taylor.
Lunin was back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Pride of Redmond.
Porter was back.
Yeah.
Those are the only names I remember.
We don't do a lot of local.
Oh, Jovan Catron.
That
was year two of Jovan Catron.
It's in good names
he
there.
He played 37 years at Oregon, man. I think he's still there. He's just backup small forward on the team, I hear.
When Hairston got to Oregon, people legitimately thought you had like a top 10 NBA pick.
He was, yeah.
He was that heralded coming into college.
He was like
college.
A 6'6", 6'7" kid from, I think, Detroit, Michigan.
Somewhere over like, in the Midwest. Yeah, and people were like, damn.
That was a big deal when he came to Oregon. Yeah. Let me ask you this. So we have this weekend in the wild card round. There are two games on the slate that are sub a 2-point line.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay, Chicago. Right now, Chicago, I believe, is edged to a slight favorite in the game.
Oh, I thought Green Bay was the favorite. That switched.
I'm looking at ESPN right now. It says Chicago -1.5, right. So it probably depends on the book you're looking at. And then Buffalo and Jacksonville. I think that's pretty solidly Buffalo's -1.5. So two spreads that are sub 2 points. So those are...
Bears are 1.5-point favorites. Bills, 1.5-point favorites.
So we would call those a coin toss game, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now going to take those two games out of the equation, and I will throw at you. Rams-Panthers, 10-point spread.
Yeah.
49ers-Eagles, the spread going up. Philadelphia now somewhere in the 4.5 neighborhood.
I'm not doing this to try to do a... I'm being honest. Hammer the Barkley over props rushing. The Niners just lost two linebackers. They have nothing on defense. They should... At the end of the day, given the Philly defense, I would be shocked if this is within 10 points as a final.
You got to be perfect offensively, and that's not easy to do against
that
defense.
Not against that defense.
Now, having Williams back and hopefully Pearsall back maybe helps a little bit, but I see your point. 4.5 is the line there.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday night Chargers and Patriots. This has been pretty solid at 3.5. Hasn't moved a ton.
Yep.
3.5. And then Monday night's right around a field goal.
Currently a field goal.
Texans road field goal favorite.
Mm-hmm. Of the four dogs that I just included, so those four dogs would be Carolina Saturday morning, your 49ers, who I now know they're not a part of this answer, the Chargers on the road at New England, or the Steelers at home against Houston. What money line dog do we like the most?
The Steelers.
Is it the Steelers? Okay.
The Steelers are definitely.
What is it about? Is it not a trust in Houston? Is it a faith in Pittsburgh?
It's a home game one.
Home game
Tomlin underdog. Home underdog.
So weather
is good.
Could be an issue.
Looks like just cold and chilly, but I told you the weather in Tampa wasn't going to be an issue, so don't listen to me.
I'm not worried about Houston and cold weather. It's more because they've played in it recently.
They're also a defensive team that wants to run the football.
Right.
Fits what they want to do.
I love the under of all those bets, but I with swag, Pittsburgh is a home 3-point dog.
I also think
dog.
If the Steelers' defense can keep it like within a one score, Rodgers is still good for a drive.
A throw. He's got DK back now.
Yeah. So more
my
so
second
than
one there.
The Chargers just can't protect. They can't run the football, and they can't protect them for 60 minutes. So
defensively, though, let's give the Chargers some credit.
No, unless
defensively,
the defense
they've been
can
good.
Come up with some turnovers and some short fields and help them out. I mean, it can still be close.
I mean,
and
even
I don't
this
know what
weekend
the
in a game
in New England,
they didn't even try to win. They held Denver to 19 points.
10 is a. I know what we're doing with the Panthers. I get it. 10 is a lot in a playoff.
That's all
game.
Based on the Panther defense. Does the Panther defense?
They just beat them.
I know.
I understand it's a regular season. Yeah. None of us here are believers. We have lived through these underdog home teams that Seahawks, Saints. Ugh, Drew Brees gonna.
That's the only one that's
them.
Ever won, right? Sub 500 division winner. Because you rattled them off in factoids.
I have them on the factoids.
And I was thinking of those games, that was the only one I remember being
the Panthers have done it at 7-8-1, but I don't remember what their result was.
They've been before, but I don't think they won a game, did they?
Well, but I don't know what the score.
I'm talking
about the 10-point spread.
Oh, sure, to cover the number.
Not to win, but 10 is a lot as a home underdog.
Yeah, 10's a lot.
I still think my second would be, I'm too scared to go in on Bryce Young. My second's going to be the Chargers.
So you go Steelers 1, Chargers 2.
Yeah, I hear what he's saying. It makes sense. Also, Herbert got rest. Herbert's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I think that Charger defense is nasty. And we saw two halves of Patriots against good teams. We gave you the stat yesterday from a listener. The Patriots have as many wins against teams over 500 this year as the Raiders.
Yeah.
That should come into some thinking here. Great year for Vrabel. I think there's an ability to make this a field
goal
game.
Biggest question for the Chargers is, can Herbert's receivers catch and hang on to the football?
Who are you concerned about? Because Johnston, I think, has set this up the last couple weeks, and McConkey's pretty sure-handed.
Well, people did the four-pick thing because Herbert threw four picks last year, and two of the four picks went directly through the hands of wide receivers. But
that's fair.
Dare to let facts get in the way of a good narrative.
I think if they're doing this, their defense is stellar.
Yes.
And what we saw with New England when they played Buffalo last, because that was a really good team, 21-point lead, 7 points total second half. They have an ability to sometimes get a little out of rhythm.
Yeah.
And if they can run the ball,
then it's a tough
Stevenson
and
company run the ball. Yeah. Good luck, Chargers. But I think the Chargers can slow that up, put them in third and longs. Drake's been awesome. I think he's the MVP. But put them in third and longs and make this just an ugly rock fight.
And how healthy, how healed is the left hand of Herbert to the point where he feels like running himself some more? Because him running,
it's such a dynamic.
It's a different
he's
dynamic.
Done a lot. I think he ended up leading quarterbacks in rushing yards this year, did he not?
May had 400, so yeah, if he has more than that, then yeah, there you go.
That was at least floating around for a chunk of the year that he was the leading quarterback rusher on the season. He ran for 498 yards.
So he's the leader
probably
in that?
Probably their team's leading rusher, too.
He was not. Vidal had 643.
Oh, that's right. He had a couple of big games late.
And then Hampton had 545 playing in 9 games. So you just round up 500 rushing yards for Herbert on the year.
What did May finish with rushing yards?
Because Lamar was banged up, and he would have been this guy. Hurts did not have a great year with his legs other than his one-yard push forward. So it wasn't like
that. I hate that it doesn't give me the rush totals on ESPN.
Well, we can look them up on the other side.
Anyways.
But that's a part of their offense for sure.
Where would you go?
I would go Chargers 1. I have a weird thing with Pittsburgh that I don't trust them at all. And I don't either. I don't trust the Chargers much because of how bad their offensive line is.
Houston's been funky last couple weeks.
No doubt about it. I just look at that matchup like, is Pittsburgh really going to score on that defense?
Can the Pittsburgh Steelers win 17-14?
Yes, they can.
Because right now the Texans
are giving
up. Can you
hold the Texans to 14 and can they score 17?
I think both of those can be true.
Okay.
I think they can get. I think the Steelers could win 13-10.
That game goes one of two ways. It's either a field goal game at the end or Houston blows
kicks
them
the crap out of them.
Isn't that the two outcomes?
Cut Rodgers in half, that pass rush down. Now, the Steelers' offensive line has been really good this year, especially in pass protection.
Jalen
maybe Warren's that gives them a chance.
Such a beat. You guys, so you don't think there's a Steeler blowout potentially?
I do not, no. And maybe that's disrespectful. I don't know. I don't think that there is. Let me ask you this. Last question. Scale of 1 out of 10. Surprise level of a Rams win and a surprise, or excuse me, a Panthers win and the surprise level of a 49ers win.
Bob, we're going
Are you 10 out of 10 for both?
Yeah, at this point with that, with the addition of linebacker injuries, yes. And I have no idea how healthy truly Trent Williams is. And I'm just going to guess in the second quarter, Pearsall will leave because he caught a 7-yard pass and fell on the ground. His feelings got hurt. He has to sit out.
Yeah, probably an 8 on both of them.
Eight.
I mean, we saw the Panthers beat the Rams. So
Devontae Adams should be back. That's what they're saying.
Should be back. And sometimes the Eagles just are their own worst enemy for no apparent
reason. Like, their offense has had
whatsoever.
Moments this year where they've been really bad.
But see, if the Eagles play like that, to what you're saying, and I agree, it's going to be the Seahawk game.
Yes. But can they do that to San Francisco if they're healthy offensively?
Well,
because the Niners defense was getting shredded by everybody, and Seattle scored 13 on them.
Part of
that is missing a field goal and a fourth down stop inside the five.
Two field goals.
So part it could have been worse.
It could have been. Part of the big problem is if McCaffrey doesn't do anything, what's that offense?
Kind of all we got.
Yeah, it really is. He had a ton of touches this year.
He did that. He did.
So if Philly gears up and says, yeah, we'll take Christian away, good luck, Kendrick Bourne. And keep an eye on Kittle. I said it in the Seattle game.
Needs a big game.
What did he finish with in that game? 2-3 catches?
Not a lot.
I love that dude, but I need you to be Travis Kelce. I need you to have 9 catches for 110 yards this weekend.
That would be really nice for 49er fans. Some fun peekaboo with Wild Card Weekend. Let's get to your questions and the answers and a question from Swag that he needs an answer on. We'll get to the mail sack. Your questions welcome. 503-864-6326. We'll answer them next on the fam. All right, I just went through. I think I got them all written down. It is time.
Well, we have one from us to them.
We do, and we'll start. I want to start there because that's a fun way to start. You know, a little interactive.
Mail sack.
So before we get to the listener mail sack questions, by the way, send them in 503-864-6326. It's a double sack today. We're fully loaded. It's been a while. We've been off.
I got a big sack.
Exactly. Yeah. Swag, you have a mail sack question.
So we have resolved all of the car issues for my wife. She has a new ride. They've gone through the claims process.
For those who forget the story, Swag's wife was leaving early in the morning to go up to Seattle,
so
and her car was stolen.
I was in Eugene. The pilots, men and women, were playing the Ducks on back-to-back days. So she had a commercial shoot up in Seattle and was leaving the house.
What, about 5 a.m.?
Like 4 a.m.
4 a.m.
And so drove the car up next to right by the front door so she didn't have to trudge everything she was taking with her, you know, across the parking lot. And in the time that she went in, grabbed stuff, turned around, came right out the front door.
Bye-bye.
Somebody had hopped in, tagging off. Car was totaled. They had to undo it from 100 feet of chain link fence in North Portland. Clearly.
That's where Kevin Love used to hoop.
Yeah. So in the aftermath, we worked out all the claims. We got all the finances cleared away. She's got a new ride. Everything, you know, worked out okay. But the insurance adjuster, so they have to actually go out once you find the car. And they actually have to, like, physically look at it. No, it's totaled. We agree.
That's a tough job, dude. That's why Peyton Manning rooted for him.
So, so in the process, they gathered a few other items that were in the car that didn't go with the car.
Yeah.
And so we get this FedEx package. The license plates are in there, which I don't know what we do with.
Okay. I think you just toss them. I don't think you need them anymore, but, you know, hold on. Maybe.
But there's a little baggie. Now, we saw when we went and inspected, there was a bag on the front, the passenger seat. We didn't want anything to do with it. But this was included in what was sent to us.
It's now in your home.
It's in the garage.
Okay.
It never came inside the house.
He doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to get arrested.
That secondhand mushroom. He's terrified.
We called the sheriff's office. I said, insurance said, what do we do? Do you guys need it for any case? Yeah. Well, I don't know if they were still investigating.
Take
the
one
case
and have a good time.
You need fingerprints?
Exactly. So we have a small little Ziploc sandwich bags of what we believe are shrooms.
Now, why do you think they're shrooms? What is
well,
it?
There's
I just think he doesn't have any knowledge of the mushroom.
One, I don't have knowledge. Two, it's inside a little sandwich bag inside of a larger plastic bag.
Are they chocolate?
I don't know.
As somebody who's handled drugs, the double bags usually is a thing.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You got a double bag.
So I can't tell completely, but what? Yeah.
Because when I did it, it was chocolate.
Proper disposal of this? We just throw it in the trash?
You take them. You put them down your throat. That's the disposal.
You eat those sons of bitches.
You on mushrooms, it just has to happen.
I need to see this. I want to be there.
I think you'd enjoy it.
I absolutely think you would enjoy it. I think it would unlock a side of you that you didn't know you had.
You'd be shocked what you would do to yourself.
Yes.
I've only done it once, and I remember that experience like it was yesterday, and it wasn't. It was a long time ago.
He grabbed the cucumber and the baby oil.
It was just amazing. So, if you and your wife...
So your question is, how do you get rid of them? Should you throw them away?
Yeah,
I mean, you could just throw them in the trash.
Them down the toilet, do we just throw them in the trash?
I know somebody that hosts a show on the station that would take them. I'm not talking about myself.
Yeah, eagerly.
Well, plus, I don't know, I mean, the scary people that had them before, I don't necessarily
Are they
also
laid?
Know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good
laced
batch.
With fentanyl.
Yeah, it could be a bad batch.
Yeah, I think I'd throw them away because of who took them, but like in most instances here, I'd wait for the Fangolf Classic and dish them out to everybody hanging out on the same hole.
Put it, just dip them into a little cup of water and nobody will really notice. It'd be all right. Everybody get a little trip for the
Danny
day.
Danny probably hits the green if he takes those.
He might. Yes.
Oh. What do you do? Do you just eat? I don't even know. I would not know how to properly.
You swallow it.
There's multiple ways you can consume them. You can eat them. You can.
They're going to taste terrible.
Horrible.
That's why people do them in different ways.
That's what I say. Do you put them in water and like make tea? I know some people make tea out of
You could just roll over and put one in your butt.
You could.
Then you don't taste anything.
Straight access right to
the
bloodline.
Exactly. That's what the baby oil is for. You know, the 6 a.m. polls and the 9 a.m. hour are very tough for some people.
Very confusing.
Not heard the 6 a.m. hour at all.
If anybody wants swags, shrooms that were in a car that was stolen from him and put in there by the people that stole the car and then totaled the car, if you would like those shrooms, hit them up. Maybe maybe you got a new side hustle going on.
I think you need to throw them away because I am not dabbling in anything with an absolute drug abuser because I'm scared of fentanyl. Because
there was a vape now in there, too.
Don't touch it.
Yeah, don't touch it.
There's an STD.
I would advise you just to throw it all away. Wouldn't worry about a legal way to do it. Who cares? Nobody's sifting through your garbage. Just throw it.
Would
away.
You be equally as nervous to like eat a pot brownie and or a chocolate bear that was a shroom? Like, would it be the same amount of nerves, or would it be like?
No, I think if I was ever to dabble, it would either be a special brownie or a gummy.
Yeah.
It would be one of those things.
Look, gummies are a way of life, man.
I know I'm a little dark on the show. You're going to be dead in 30 years. Like, you don't want that experience one
time? This needs to happen this summer. We need, for a big hockey game, we need to do it this summer. And it doesn't have to be a high dosage.
Do a half gummy.
Just have some fun.
You'll feel it, but it won't dominate your mindset or your day. You'll be done in 2 hours.
Put some meat on the Traeger. It's a nice day out.
Music's
Jimmy Buffett's playing in the background.
Oh, my God.
Wait for a Stanley Cup final game to be on.
Wear your shorts that show Michael McDonald.
It's a delightful Saturday.
You know what I mean?
This has turned. All right, let Swag know what to do with his shrooms. Let's see what else we got here. Mail sack. What would you like to accomplish in 2026, and what are you most looking forward to in 2026?
Yeah, I don't mean the amount of giggles you give on a show basis.
Oh, God.
You on a gummy would not stop giggling at
be
everything.
Anderson Cooper. Is what
you would be Anderson
me.
Cooper
you
on yes, you would on steroids.
Just the whole time. I'm like, what's funny? And you're like, he checked him. Like, what? That was funny to you?
He checked them. Big check.
What was the question? The goals?
What would you like to accomplish in 2026, and what are you most looking forward to in 2026?
Oh, most looking forward to? Yeah, that is 2.5 weeks in Italy.
That's do it this summer.
That'll do it.
We're going on a trip. We think my niece is going to choose Disney.
Oh, no.
And I don't blame her.
Disneyland,
she's got some nieces and
Disney
nephews
World.
That are younger. Disneyland. Okay. And we might do a San Diego slash drive to LA, do Disneyland. My brother-in-law is so against this. He keeps throwing out, like, in the group chats, prices to go to Cabo because he doesn't want his kid to pick Disneyland.
Go to Cabo for a week, man. That's so much.
I'm not picking. But that trip, I think, because we haven't had a big family trip like that since Vietnam in 2019. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that'll be a lot of fun. I mean, I got a lot of goals. I want to read 12 books. That's a book a month.
That's pretty good.
It's not very hard, right? But I have trouble doing that. It's just a bunch of tiny little goals.
Cool things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Health stuff, reading, being a little more offline, more present, and then this stupid program.
Whatever the hell
I want this
is.
Stupid program to try to get better to 18. Can we get to 18 this year, or do we fall back to 20?
Yeah, my goals are to still be alive, still be employed, and still be married at the end of the year, you know? Knock those three off, you're doing good.
There you go.
Every single year.
I just want to break 80.
You just keep moving the ball forward.
Breaking 80.
I just want to break 80.
That's a solid one. You could do it, Swag.
You
not that
break
far
80,
off.
You better just do some gummies.
You know what might help you break 80?
Shrooms.
A gummy.
Oh, okay.
Shrooms would not help.
No, shrooms would not.
I see four
You're
golf
seeing
balls
everything. There's no positivity that's coming from that. Gummies can settle you into a groove. Okay. Now, it's very similar to booze, where you got to find...
Yes.
There's this, you go too far over, and then you just
lost. I think a half
gummy
is perfect for him.
I think a half, his zero ever usage, I don't know if a half is too much.
So maybe a half of a half?
Maybe a quarter of a gummy?
That's fair. If you did shrooms golfing, the fairway would be randomly blue.
Yeah.
And you'd have no idea why. The trees would talk to you a
little
bit.
You'd be shooting gophers in the fairway that didn't exist. It wouldn't end well.
Yeah.
Chubbs would appear.
You'd just be on the side.
He's waving up in the sky. Hi, Chubbs. Hi,
quietly
happy.
Muttering to yourself, putting.
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 Putting. It's a funny
just
word.
I couldn't stop saying putting.
One more in here, and then we'll go. Mail sack, as a diehard Steeler fan, part of me was genuinely hoping the Steelers would lose to the Ravens. I'm done barely getting into the playoffs, getting killed in the first round. I'm done going 10-7 or 9-8. I am done with Tomlin. I am done with mediocrity. Am I off base with that, or is this a fair way to think as a fan?
Great job.
It's not easy to get there.
We need
congratulations.
That. More of you need to be doing that. That's the right way to look at it. Amen. I have nothing to add. You did the right thing.
The biggest question, if you decide to go that route, is do you trust then the management team and the ownership in place to advance and improve? Because you could go backwards and be the Bengals and Browns.
Very well could.
You're one of the more consistent franchises
in
pro
that.
Sports.
But
what if
you
they
haven't
get to the
been
AFC
able
title
to
game?
Land a quarterback worth a damn since Big Ben retired.
Nope. I just say this on that listener. I don't hate Mike Tomlin, contrary to my opinions.
No.
I just hate that they don't care about the quarterback position and largely haven't for a decade.
Yeah.
If I'm that same fan, I'd feel that way. And him banging on his chest and blowing a kiss as if he just dominated his division and trounced the Ravens and didn't win on a missed field goal, I kind of would have been like, all right, dude.
Yeah.
Sure. You're back in it. Cool.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing for Steeler fan will be is if they actually do win a playoff game against Houston and then you go into the second round, you're like, what if they do it again? You're 1-1 away from an AFC title
if
game.
If Denver loses to Pittsburgh at home.
It's devastating.
Like, that is such a fake-ass one-seed season. I would have to rethink everything if I was a Denver fan.
You would have to at that point.
Not that you're blowing it up, but I'd just be like, cool, the fakest 14-win season of all time.
That division shouldn't even be in the damn playoffs.
They shouldn't.
And here they are.
Man.
They'll happen. I've rooted for my team to lose a game before in hopes that they would fire. Not rooted, that's too strong of a word.
You weren't mad when the Beavers beat the Ducks in the Civil War?
I was okay when Oregon lost the 2016 Civil War.
Because you knew what it meant.
I felt like Mark Helfrich was going to get fired, and then he got fired. I still think back to being at a bar the weekend after that and arguing with buddies about firing Mark Helfrich. Now, that's not an Oregon thing, and Oregon shouldn't do that thing, and that's not what we've... I still remember,
media
vividly
people were
remember
saying that. Like,
these
are we
debates we were
the same
having.
Thing?
Like, this thing is sinking like a stone. He can't recruit. He's playing with all the other players that were
Chip's
Kelly's guys.
Chip's game plan's gone, buddy.
Like, it's over, dude. That ship has sailed. We got to make a change. We got to make a change now. So I've been there as a fan. It's not a fun place to be in, but I totally get where you're coming from, and I'm not going to criticize you for it at all. Let's get to some more mail sack questions on the other side. To touch your head. A little summer wind would be nice right now. I think we could all use a little bit of it.
I could use a little of that.
I came away with an opinion. During the vacation, there was a debate in my house about could you do a warm Christmas and without a doubt could be in Hawaii every Christmas. This cold weather, I'm out. Give me the 75 with Christmas lights. I'm totally cool with that.
We're only like 5 months away from it, man. It's right around our corner. It's almost here. You're going to blink. It'll be here, baby. We'll be living the dream.
I think I still, having done one, it was a cool, but I still need that up until Christmas, but January 1st.
Yeah, this is the time of year where the weather starts to hit me.
How can you be a week difference between eating warm and not? Come on.
You need it to be cold for the holidays, man.
Your parents open up the condo in Maui. Every Christmas the next 5 years, you're just bypassing it. You're ridiculous. Get out of here. You're swimming 500 yards into the Pacific.
That's an OG Christmas, man. Yards. That's a fan of outdoor football late in the season right there. Oh, elements matter, damn it.
Dome it up.
We have a question on that. We can
dome it up.
No. Yes. Mail sack question, is it worse to be stuck behind a slow person at the checkout line or a slow checkout worker? Basically, which one? So the person who's going through the self-checkout but taking forever, or the person who's paid to check out your groceries but they're taking forever.
I'm pro-worker in almost every instance here. I'm going to defend the checker. That is how many hours into their job. Those items, half the time, they're having to type a number in because the scan isn't working, so they have to memorize 1,000 different little combos to get the
codes,
prize. That job cannot be fun to do day-to-day. I'm giving some relief to them. I'm blaming slow check people.
Okay.
What are we doing?
As long as the person, the worker, is, if they're just moving at a slow pace, but they're moving, okay, fine. The person that's going and is not prepared for whatever their transaction is, or is talking on the phone and not paying attention, that drives me more
nuts.
Nine
different cards. This card doesn't work.
Yeah, those are always frustrating.
Checks.
I would say that the checkout worker who then proceeds to do what we talked about earlier and have the conversation,
now, if
that holds up the line, then I'm upset.
Yes.
If I'm waiting here and you're done with doing business, basically with the person before me, but you're just having a conversation because you know that person.
And there's three people in the line, let's go.
Now I'm getting frustrated.
Yeah. So if you were a checker, you wouldn't talk to people.
I think,
miserable shift.
No, I'm not saying I wouldn't talk to people.
No.
You broach it with a, hey, how's it going today?
Pleasant small talk.
Give an easy first question. You lob it up. If you get a return, then I'll have a conversation.
If you don't get much, do you do any follow up?
Shut down immediately.
Yeah.
Because that person doesn't want to talk to me.
They don't want to talk. That's fine.
You just haven't asked the right questions. Cucumber and baby oil, huh?
Where'd you put the cucumber?
What's going on with this one?
Mail sack question is, at what point is there pressure on Dana Altman?
I don't think there's ever pressure on Dana.
There's never pressure. You know why there's never pressure? Because we don't care. We don't care. It's called spade a spade. Yeah. Oregon fans don't care about the basketball program. We don't go to games. We don't support. We don't follow it. We don't care. Mm. And that's okay. We don't have to care. I'm not saying every fan doesn't care. There are certainly some of you who care. Mm. But the idea that we, like, follow this religiously. How dare he? Like, your life is going to be impacted by him losing a game to Rutgers. We don't care, man. Our football team's playing in the semifinals on Friday.
Yep.
They're not going anywhere. And as long as that is the constant, I don't think you can do better than Dana Altman. Basketball program is kind of what it is.
I just wonder how much he's.
Oh, I think you could get a good coach now. I'm not saying you do better in all the totality of Dana Altman, but I think it is an era where you could definitely find a good coach and this thing could get a little
different. I thought Oregon had unlimited resources. Why aren't we buying every basketball recruit?
Because the football team needs more
resources. Oh, okay, we're just not. Yeah, got it.
Who's on a hotter seat, Dana Altman or Wayne Tinkle?
I mean, that's not even debatable about who it should be. But you guys don't have the money to buy him out. So based on that logic, technically my coach, maybe. But neither of them going anywhere.
Okay.
Mail sack, I find myself, as an OSU fan, disheartened with the state of college football. Mm. It's gotten to the point my rooting interest is that I'm just happier when the Ducks lose than when my own team wins.
That's a brutal honesty.
Unfortunately for you, that did not happen a lot in either way this year. But I really have nothing else to hang on to. And with that, the way the sport currently is, I see no light at the end of the tunnel, only more carnage. It made me start to wonder, are we witnessing college football starting to go the way of boxing, where we thought it was too big to fail before collapsing completely?
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
And Alabama had 23.9 million viewers. No. We will still watch the big games. It's just you're not a big game program.
I've argued this for 2-3 years now. It sucks that bubbles have been impacted.
Mm-hmm.
The sport has never been more popular.
No, it hasn't. Never.
It doesn't mean that our bubble in our little neck of the woods here does not have some fans who are now disheartened with the state of college football.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana's in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech was in the college football playoff. Ole Miss is like, everybody feels like they have a chance. There's more parity. It sucks when you lose guys, but other programs are getting guys. The sport has never been bigger and better than it is right now.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go that way. It's not going to become boxing. It's just really hard to not agree with us. If you're sitting in a position where you were living weekend to weekend with your team, and now you've been relegated to a lesser version of your old conference, and
if I were a Beaver fan, I would have quit. I would have quit. I'm just not. I mean, I'll follow. I'll watch a game, but I'm not invested in it day in and day out like I used to.
I mean, I'll say this: quit is a strong term. I'm certainly rooting for Shepherd to have success. Yes. I'd like to get him back on the show. I'd like them to be a talking point. I like to kind of be a little different. And so, like, yeah, I kind of did remove myself. I'm not emotionally
torn.
Watch
a little more soccer now on Saturdays.
I mean, I chose the Oregon State of the Premier League.
That's another issue.
But, yeah, I mean, I found something else to consume my time. I love big college football games. And even if I cite little things around the sport that I think are broken, it has never been more popular, and we will watch all of the semis. We will watch the national championship. The
numbers are going to be huge this week.
And to that fan, I'd say, you got two more games to really root hard against Oregon.
You got two more chances. You a good do. Chance they lose on Friday, so maybe you're going to be happy.
Hopefully,
in the
getting into a conference with some regular now opponents that you're going to see over and over again.
If you make the playoff in 2 years out of the Pac-12, I
dead?
Think you feel differently.
Yeah,
you
I
go,
think you do too.
We're not going to win it, but here's breaking news. You were never going to win it,
no.
even in the old Pac-12.
You haven't won an outright conference championship in 100 years.
It's the equivalent of what you said earlier, Dirt. When I asked, do you even care if your Oregon men's basketball team like loses in the second round? You go, I just like them to be in the tournament.
Just being there is cool.
Right. That should be the mindset, I think, of Oregon State football fan. If you get to that tournament, who cares if you're James Madison and get bludgeoned? Going to like Oxford for a road game or Tuscaloosa or
go travel. It'd be a fun trip in December
Michigan,
with your family.
Yeah.
Go with your buddies. Go watch them play.
Could be a fun little getaway weekend. And your team will lose. But be like James Madison fan. Enjoy the moment.
Mail sack question. Best Celsius flavor? Grape. End of discussion. Mail sack question. Will Dirt watch more college basketball or Winter Olympics? Not even close. Winter Olympics.
Whoa.
Right around the corner.
Whoa. You just named the best Celsius flavor?
We got a break. We got to go.
Oh.
Right out of time.
I've never
grape?
Had Celsius.
I love grape.
Have you ever had an energy drink?
I love the grape Celsius.
I've become an Alani.
You've never drank an energy drink? Like
I
a
might
Red
have
Bull?
Had a diet Red Bull one time.
Why would you do diet Red Bull?
Because the other ones are so sugary, they're disgusting. They make me puke. I don't do overly sweet things.
You never had like a vodka Red Bull cocktail?
No.
Oh.
You never had a vodka Red Bull?
Lived on those in Vegas.
Dude, I hammered so many of those on our Kevin Todd trip.
We'll ask one more on the other side because it does connect to something that we talked about. And then we'll put a bow on the show. It's a Tuesday. It's our final segment. Thank everybody for the mail sack questions. It was a delightful mail sack as always. We'll wrap it up next on The Fan. All right, one more bonus mail sack question to wrap up the show today.
Mail sack.
In the face of our own Brandon Sprague. And unlike two real Americans, Jason Swigart and Andy Dirt Johnson, who agree. Millsack, what do you think the solution is to NFL stadium atmospheres turning more and more sterile and corporate? Every new stadium, cookie-cutter dome designed to attract and host a Super Bowl.
Yep.
A lot of the older stadiums are also taking out large capacity of regular seats to build more premium boxes and suites.
Yeah.
Is there any chance these stadiums go back to catering to the average Joe? The answer to that is no. They did have the last game we were talking about, not that it matters here locally in Portland, it was the last game in Buffalo Stadium this weekend.
Yeah, there was one of the longest tenured players just stood on the field and looked around at the video montage and just kind of embraced it all. I will say this, like, my stance on domes is not about being, well, one, I don't want to be in freezing cold weather ever, but I don't go to games. So it largely never impacts my life. It's more about like, hey, Josh Allen is 9 for 17 and 105 yards. Yeah, it's minus 10 degrees outside. That sucks. I don't like good players being...
Don't be a Tua, all right? Man up and play in the cold weather.
Okay, yeah. I don't like watching great players be torn down by weather. What I will acknowledge, though, is I'm watching Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and it was I think it was one of the go-ahead touchdowns, the back and forth at the end, when they did the toss to Gainwell, and he got in. I'm just watching the line and both lines. When you see breath on both lines, and then it's... And you see the breath out of the helmet.
You can't beat it,
100%.
You can't beat it.
You can't beat it.
Yep.
I also would say, if anything in society now makes you think they're going to go back to the average Joe...
Oh, we're done. We're dead.
We are all cooked.
They don't care about us at all.
In every possible way.
There is a little part of me, like, baseball has held on to this to a decent amount, although they're dropping like flies, too, where there's a uniqueness to each stadium. The complaint that I do see... is that all of the indoor stadiums to me look...
SoFi doesn't. Yeah.
SoFi looks different because it's a little bit brighter, but it's just an indoor dome with a giant jumbotron. It's the same as AT&T. It's the same as Atlanta. Canopy. It'll be the same as Kansas City.
It's not completely enclosed.
No, it has
the walls are open. Yeah, the walls are open. I'm not saying, again, that they're all the same. I'm just saying when I watch a game and it's inside a dome, it feels the same. They all feel the same to me.
Right.
Whereas if I turn on a game at Lambeau, there's a difference there. Yeah. Or San Francisco or Seattle. Or I don't know. There's more uniqueness to it for an outdoor stadium, I guess.
It's obviously driven to, one, create more revenue, right, for concerts and all year-round usage. Two,
from a financial standpoint, I get the argument.
The cathedral thing died the minute the Yankees did what they did. That was when you still have some historic ballparks in baseball, but the minute there was ever going to be the standard, unique, lifelong thing that just gets, you know, renovated and updated.
The house that the Babe built?
It died. When they chose to abandon that and build a new ballpark, I was like, well, this is going the way of the dodo.
There's Wrigley and Fenway, and that's pretty much it.
And what happened during our vacation that we haven't talked about, and it's not important to us locally, but there's fans that get impacted. It is underrated criminal. The Chiefs are going to abandon Arrowhead.
They are, yeah. They're building a dome stadium.
They're going back
in Kansas.
And they're going to Kansas.
They're going to Kansas.
Yeah.
They're going across the border.
In Olathe.
Yeah. Yep.
Chicago's been dealing with this forever. They want to tear down Soldier Field and build a dome, but they can't get a deal done with...
And they were toying with Indiana.
They moved to Indiana. What? Niners did this with Santa Clara. They moved. They're 45 minutes south of San Francisco now.
At least 45 minutes.
Stop showing me the Golden Gate skyline cam when you come back from break, dude. That's an hour away, man.
Show me the strip malls next to the stadium. I was there. I know what it looks like.
What are we watching tonight? Anything on the docket?
Kraken Bruins, 7 o'clock.
I mean, we got a pretty big one at noon here, buddy.
You got a Forest game at noon right around the corner.
This is a relegation battle. West Ham, Forest. Like, we need to be aggressive. West Ham's defense sucks, but our offense has been dog crap. So we need to win this.
Get the job done, Forrest.
We need it.
Now's your time.
It's a big one.
That'll do it for us, folks. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at 1051thefan on Twitter, at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We appreciate you being along for the ride. We love you all. Tomorrow will be another fun show. Bill Connolly, we had to punt him from today to tomorrow, so he'll join us at 7:30. We'll see if he gives Sprague a sandwich bet payoff from Ohio State, and we'll talk some more about the NFL playoffs and the college football semifinals, which are right around the corner. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday. The Firm of Harrison Meringue is next. You're listening to 1051 FM The Fan. Bye.